Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Talking science today to start the program. I'm a big fan of this talking about it. It's a fascinating topic, one I think most of us like to talk about. We certainly do on this program. And I think it's even more fun when Bassam Shakashiri gets to put his two cents worth in. He is a professor of chemistry at the UW-Madison, past president of the American Chemical Society. And I'm hoping that you'll join in with your questions and comments as we move along today. You can join us at 800-642-1234, email us at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Bassam, welcome back. Great to see you.
I'm very happy to be here, Larry.
We have, just to start with, I think today, we had a very distinguished alum of the university pass away, and someone who had been on this program a few times with you, Carl Gerassi, born in Austria, and interesting stories, I think, about how he ended up and here at Wisconsin and about his research.
Fascinating story. Carl died on January 30th in San Francisco. He was 91 years old. He came to the UW in the 1940s after graduating from Kenyon College, enrolled in a graduate program here at the University of Wisconsin, and he completed the PhD degree in chemistry in less than 2.5 years. Larry, no one has even come close to breaking that record. It's a remarkable achievement that he made. And then he moved on to industry, and he was very, very successful organic chemist. He was involved in the synthesis of a whole variety of compounds, including the ingredients in the birth control pill. In fact, he is referred to often as the father of the birth control pill.
Yeah.
He always took exception to that. He said, how could I be the father of the birth control pill? He was highly, highly accomplished. We actually tried to get him back to be a faculty member here after he worked in Mexico where the synthesis projects were underway. But we didn't succeed because one of our own faculty member, Professor William Johnson, left Madison to become the chair of chemistry at Stanford University, and he enticed Carl to join
go there.
Him. Yeah, and that was the beginning of what we now know as a great chemistry department at Stanford University. It's a fabulous department there. And we have our own fabulous department.
Oh, yes, we sure do. He was, you know, the thing I kind of so interesting about Carl, and I know you can talk about this, he was really a renaissance man.
He sure was. He was highly accomplished in science. He was a superb chemist. He's widely recognized for his work, especially in the synthesis of hormones, antihistamines, he has patents on those, and natural products. He received the National Medal of Science, the National Medal of Technology. Actually, he received the National Medal of Science during the Nixon administration, even though he was on the Nixon list. You remember the list of, yeah.
Yeah.
But he published over 1,200 scientific papers in his career.
That's unbelievable.
And mentored graduate students and postdocs. And then in his 60s, he decided to switch, and he closed down his scientific lab and started to write literary work. So he published poems, he published novels. Became a playwright. And you remember that about 10 years ago, slightly over 10 years ago, University Theater produced his play, Oxygen, that he co-wrote with a Nobel Prize winner, Roald Hoffman.
Yeah. He was on the show to talk about it.
And he was on the show to talk about it. UW Press has published 4 of his books. I'm very proud of this connection that Gerassi had to UW-Madison. He has had a profound influence on the lives of people around the world. Just think about Just think of what the world would be if Carl Gerassi had not done what he did 60 years ago. It'll be a very different world for us everywhere.
And you know, I think there are things we can learn about, or learn from his life as well. And maybe you would talk about that a little bit.
Well, he had a very interesting life. In fact, through his writings, we learn about him and about the different situations that he was in. All of his literary writings are autobiographical. Mm-hmm. I think his best autobiography is the one that is called This Man's Pill. It was published on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of the birth control pill. So he wrote extensively about his life, about his life journey, about his struggles with identity and his search for belonging. He came from Europe, as you mentioned, and thrived in the United States, thrived in the freedom that we have in the U.S., Larry, the freedom of inquiry, the freedom to assemble, the freedom to worship. He thrived in all of that, and he is a true exemplar of what a Renaissance man can do in a free society.
Even though he did not spend his working years here at Wisconsin, he certainly embodied the Wisconsin idea, didn't he? The boundary of the campus are the boundaries of the state and the world.
Exactly. He is a true exemplar of the Wisconsin idea and the success of the alumni that we have from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the impact, the worldwide impact of what happens at UW-Madison. Let me just say one other thing about his literary work.
Yeah.
After he closed down his scientific laboratory and had published 1,200 scientific papers, he then, in the past 30 years, published 271 literary pieces. That's the novels, that's the poems, the plays, and so on. You know, 271, that's more than many scientists publish in their scientific literature in their lifetime.
Career, yeah.
He was an amazing person. University of Wisconsin honored him several times with an honorary degree and distinguished alumni awards. He's been a friend to Wisconsin. He has supported creative writing programs at Madison. I would dare say, Larry, I'm happy to say, in my opinion, he is the most distinguished alumnus of the University of Wisconsin Chemistry Department.
Bassam Shakashiri, our guest today, professor of chemistry at UW-Madison. It's great to have him along as we talk about science, and we've been talking about Carl Gerassi, one of our alums in chemistry, his work. And we also want to talk about the Wisconsin idea itself and some of its triumphs and failures, and certainly answer your questions about science and science education. So I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. 1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mehler Show for that. And Sam, you're going to add something.
Yeah, Larry, I really would be interested in hearing from the listening audience what they know about Carl Gerassi, what they consider his influences are. If there are people in the listening audience that have views and opinions about his magnificent contributions to science and to society, I would be very eager to hear about that.
Excellent. And again, you can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. It seems like the Wisconsin idea has been talked about more recently a lot, maybe than it has been for a while. How would you describe it for those who aren't familiar with it?
We live the Wisconsin idea, Larry. You and I, others at UW-Madison, we live the Wisconsin idea. It is the notion, it is the belief that what happens at UW-Madison reaches not only to the extreme boundaries of our state, but goes even beyond that. The Wisconsin idea is a very noble invention of the people of Wisconsin. The people of Wisconsin throughout the decades have been very generous in supporting UW-Madison. And in return, they expect something from UW-Madison. And this is really at the heart of what the Wisconsin idea is. So the different discoveries that we make in our laboratories, the different successes we have in teaching our students who go out into the business community, go out into any endeavor, are all true manifestations of the commitment that the people of Wisconsin have made to this great institution that we belong to. So the original notion was formulated by President Van Hise in 1901, who said that the boundaries of the university are the boundaries of the state. But about 20 years ago or so, this was expanded to include the truth, and the truth being that it's globally accepted that Wisconsin has a great influence. But I want to emphasize the benefits to our state. Yeah. There are huge benefits to our states that have accrued from the Wisconsin idea. The discoveries made by our scientists, by our researchers, are numerous. And these include the testing of milk, for example. Mm-hmm. This is in the 1890s. Agricultural chemist Stephen Babcock tackled one of the biggest obstacles that was confronting the Wisconsin dairy industry, that is measuring the quality of milk.
Of milk.
And so that's one of many other examples that I can cite. Historian Frederick Jackson Turner attributed the perseverance of individualism, pragmatism, and grassroots governance of the American character to the qualities necessary to survive on the frontier. That is the heart of the Wisconsin idea.
Yeah.
Vitamins A and B, research in vitamins A and B conducted, identified here at the University of Wisconsin. Vitamin D itself, yeah, with Harry Steenbach and all the students that came after him, including currently Emeritus Professor Hector DeLuca.
Mm-hmm.
Are examples of how the citizens of Wisconsin are benefiting from the research that was happening here. Warfarin, the mm-hmm. blood thinner, that was a discovery made by Carl Paul Link, who discovered this powerful anti-clotting agent that was causing cows to bleed to death. Somebody came to him and reported what's happening with the cows, and he investigated that. And so then the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, WARF, patented that, mm-hmm. and that's why it's called warfarin. But it's not only in the sciences, Larry. The Social Security Act of 1935 it was innovative, and it dealt with a whole slew of social policies. It was promoted by UW economists John Witte, John Commons, and Arthur Altmaier. They focused on how government could help the welfare of millions of America. Harry Harlow, who studied the social life of monkeys and the role of the mother in the development of infants, was here at UW-Madison, again living the Wisconsin idea. I have my office and my lab in the Farrington Daniels building, mm-hmm. chemistry building. Farrington Daniels in the 1950s, long before alternative energy was coined, he became an advocate for the use of solar energy through his research in physical chemistry and other related areas. You know Werner Sumi, the space scientist. He was the first American to conduct weather research from space by putting instruments aboard satellites, and we still use that improved technology. So the list goes on and on and on. And there are nowadays dozens of faculty and researchers and teachers in the classroom, in the laboratories, that are living the Wisconsin idea. And I am very humbled to be the first holder of the William T. Evue, Distinguished Chair for the Wisconsin Idea, and I'm truly humbled by that, Larry. Wow.
Bassam Shakashiri, Professor of Chemistry at UW-Madison, our guest, as we talk with him about science and science education and the Wisconsin Idea. I hope you'll join in. We have callers online. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, talking with UW chemistry professor Bassam Shakashiri. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. We had, you know, you talked about a few of the many triumphs of our faculty here. And I know there have been some we might consider failures.
Well, I am very proud of the accomplishments that we continue to make. And I don't know whether I would call it a failure or not, but I still think we can do more, and we should do more. We should be further reaching to all corners of the state of Wisconsin and addressing issues that relate to the quality of life in every part of Wisconsin. I'm talking about issues that relate to water quality, to food production, to health care. This is an awesome responsibility that we have. And so I'm not sure I'd call it a failure, but I sometimes talk about it that way as an advocate for doing more of the good things that we have done and helping our young faculty, the graduate students, the postdoctoral associates, the undergraduate students to subscribe to this notion of being responsible for the immediate environment that we live in, whether it's Madison, Wisconsin, or the northern part of the state, or any part of the state. So if there has been a failure, I would say it is in not doing enough and not doing more of reaching out to the general public and helping them appreciate the vast amounts of knowledge and discoveries that we have come up with and how they influence the quality of life in our state.
You know, one of the things I think is really wonderful, you mentioned faculty, new faculty or young faculty, and it got me thinking about the program we have where we take our new faculty members and take them by bus around the state and get a chance to see good and bad things that are happening around the state and meet with citizens directly and talk with them. I think it's just a wonderful way to introduce people to new faculty members to our state.
I think it's a very good way, and I've met with several people who have been on these trips, and they learned a lot. I would like to see the citizens of Wisconsin ask for more connectivity with the UW-Madison, mm-hmm. with all institutions in the UW. I'd like the citizens of Wisconsin, in addition to being so generous in supporting the teaching and the research that goes on at this world-class university, I'd like them to be more actively engaged in requesting and in wanting to learn more, in contributing to decision-making, in voting on important issues that affect the quality of life in our state. Not issues only related to the funding the university, although that's a very, very important set of issues. Those are very important. But issues that relate to the well-being of the institutions that the taxpayers in Wisconsin support. And I think connectivity with the citizens through our elected representatives is essential. And we want to have a very respectful dialogue with everyone. We want to learn from our fellow citizens what their beliefs are as far as the Wisconsin idea is concerned. What are their expectations of this great world-class university? How do all the activities that we engage in teaching and research and public service, affect them? So the failure is not only in one direction. I would say it is an expectation on my part that those of us at the university and those of us who live in the environment, in the geographic environment where the university is, throughout the state, make known what your expectations are of this great institution. Otherwise, it's not going to be a great institution for too long.
Eric in Madison, thanks for waiting. Hello.
I couldn't agree more with what Dr. Shakshari just elucidated here, and that was my point that I was going to try to make, is that I feel like there hasn't been enough of an understanding of how important the Wisconsin idea is. I mean, that was the reason I came into the sciences and got my degree and advanced degree at the University of Wisconsin, and I really feel that maybe we need to do more to really educate the public on how important this is. And I don't want to get too political or anything here, but it seems like there's been a little bit of an assault on the Wisconsin idea, and I'm really disheartened by that a little bit. Because it is such a, you know, with the work that UW Extension does and with the outreach, I mean, it's so important, and we need to do better at educating the public on how important this Wisconsin idea and the work that not just UW but UW-Madison but also the other UW colleges throughout the state do to, you know, really further science and also further the Wisconsin idea.
Well, thank you, Eric, for your comment. I agree with what you just said about educating the public, but I want to re-emphasize the importance of educating ourselves about the expectations from the public. I would like to have more open dialogue, more open conversations, respectful conversations, not only about the true mission of the UW-Madison, not only about what the Wisconsin idea embodies, but about the needs that our fellow citizens in our state want to share, want to express. I think it's very important for the business community. It's very important for the private sector to become more involved in dialogue with this great source of knowledge and great source of wisdom that we call the University of Wisconsin Madison, to make sure that their needs are attended to. We are the University of Wisconsin. And if you look, Larry and Eric, if you look at states that have about the same population as we have here in Wisconsin, which is about 5.7 million people, if you look at those states and look at their state universities, ours is the most outstanding one. And so if you look at 5.7 million people plus a million and minus a million, the range includes the University of Massachusetts, the University of Arizona, the universities in Indiana, the universities in Tennessee, in Missouri, in Maryland. All of these states have populations bigger than ours. And the ones that are smaller than ours are Minnesota, Colorado, Alabama, South Carolina, Louisiana, and Kentucky. You look at our state university, and you'll see how it stacks up at the very top of any of these other state-supported institutions. That's because of the quality of work that we do at UW-Madison. It's because of the quality of education, the quality of teaching, the interactions that we have with the state. We want to have useful conversations with the business leaders, with the industry leaders, with all groups in Wisconsin.
And again, Eric, I thank you so much. I want to give Judith a chance to join in from Grand Marsh. I appreciate your comments, and let's turn to Judith next. Judith, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. I want to do a fast experiment, very scientific. I'd like the doctor to put his left hand on his right shoulder and his right hand on his left shoulder. And he's finding out that this is a big hug for all the people who thank him for putting the human face on the study of science. When it comes out of the books and out of the headlines into your heart, it makes people want to have this emphasized. And he's expert at that. I saw finally his one of his experimental days with kids in the audience where it was on public television. I never get to Madison to see this, but I saw one of the broadcasts, and it was heartwarming and scientific and showed just how much that side of him emphasizes science and makes it something that you can take into your whole being. So thank you so much. And Larry, you deserve a hug, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith. That was very, very touching. I'm very moved by what you said. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It really is moving comments. You've got both of us with tears in our eyes here. So we will give you a chance to join in at 800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can certainly reach us there. That way as well. Quite a few things to talk about, but we've got some emails that I wanted to address, too. One from Aaron in Richland Center. It says, I just came across a self-published book and checked it out from the UW Richland Campus Library. It's called Mr. Alfalfa, written by Lawrence Graber, a professor in the agronomy department. He grew up on a farm near Mineral Point in the early 1900s and went on to become professor at UW-Madison. And he's wondering if you or I could say anything about Mr. Alfalfa in terms of being represented by the Wisconsin idea. And I'm trying to think back. He's an example of so many of the professors in the College of Ag and Life Sciences in agronomy and horticulture and dairy and animal sciences. At one point, wheat was the number one crop here in Wisconsin, and we had some terrible diseases, rust that affected the wheat. And it was people like Mr. Alfalfa who promoted and developed varieties of alfalfa that would work very well in this state and really transformed the agriculture of the state through alfalfa. And I can think of in horticulture, a guy by the name of John Shaneman developed a Burbank potato that competes very well with the Idaho potato. And it works very, grows very well in Wisconsin. So these are just a couple.
There are hundreds of such examples. I dare say that every faculty member at UW-Madison feels that they're making a contribution to the state through the research that we do. And that's what we would like to do more of, to share and to communicate not only what's happening at the university, but what the expectations are from the state citizens of this university. We know what the expectations are when it comes to athletics, Larry. Mm-hmm. So we we like to have winning teams. We like to have student athletes who graduate. We like to have them go into their professions, whether it's sports or anything else. We know that most of the student athletes are not going to go into professional sports. We know that the UW-Madison enables them, empowers them to do well in their chosen careers, but that's what we want to try to share. Not only the entertainment sports aspect of it, but the true dimensions of the advances in science and technology in the social sciences that have an effect on the quality of life in Wisconsin, the quality of life in our country, and the quality of life around the globe.
You know, just to kind of along those lines, and this is something that you've done over the years. You've done such a wonderful job teaching to across a variety of people, and summertime, not really a downtime for you. I know that because you're teaching a course on chemistry and society in the summer forum. And what do you cover in a class like that?
This is a brand new course that I'm offering this coming summer here in Madison for 1 month. It's open to the general public. If someone wants to take it for credit, that's fine, but you don't have to take it for credit. It meets twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m. and for 4 weeks. And it is on chemistry and society. It's not to get people to go into chemistry, but if you want to go into chemistry, that's fine too. It is to examine the role of science, in this case chemistry, in our daily lives, to learn more about the greenhouse gases, to learn more about quality of water, to learn more about nutrition, and what the scientific bases are. So it's going to be mostly a set of conversations with the people who enroll in this.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a little bit of chemistry, trying to understand, you know, what is it that makes a gas a greenhouse gas? Why do we call it a greenhouse gas?
Mm-hmm.
And what can we do about the emission of greenhouse gases? So there'll be environmental aspects to it. It will be dealing with great challenges that we face in society and the role of chemistry in addressing some of those grand challenges. And I'm looking forward to this. This is the first time I do it. It's one of two summer forums that UW-Madison is offering. The other one is by a colleague that's doing a course on Chinese art.
So
that again speaks to the richness of the offerings that we have in Madison, and so you have to be 17 years or older to be in this course. Why did I pick 17? Because I want to get the high school seniors to mm-hmm. think about some of these issues, and so this is a very exciting new venture for me. I'm happy to have the opportunity to do it, and it starts in June, the middle of June. It goes on for 4 weeks. And if you go to my website, you can find some information about signing up for it. Actually, it's on your website too, Larry, right?
Yeah, we have a link up. Yep, Cheyenne's saying, yeah, we got that link up. And it's free. Is it not free to...
Yeah, you can register for it. I mean, if there's some people who want to take it for credit...
That's a different story.
Yeah. But I'm expecting that most people... We live in a free society. If you want to take it for credit, fine. If you don't want to take it for credit, that's fine too. This is an attempt to again have us think about the role of science in advancing the human condition, and to also understand the limitations that science and technology have in dealing with issues that people in society, all of us in society, face.
You know, just to some nice emails to kind of go along with just exactly what we've been talking about here. Anne in Madison said UW-Madison enriches everyone's lives. There are so many wonderful opportunities for anyone, not just enrolled students, to learn something, just as we were talking about here. And she lists the continuing education courses, the Wednesday night in the lab, the Washburn Observatory program, which is wonderful, the Chazen Museum of Art, the Institute for Discovery, the WID, and the Geology Museum, just to name a few.
There are so many opportunities, and we are very happy to be involved in them. We at UW-Madison will be even happier if more people engage with us in these activities.
Talking with Bassam Shakashiri, and I'm going to give this one Facebook comment here, too, from Rob, and I want to echo the caller who thanked us for making science fun. Robin says, I have a degree in zoology from long ago. I still thrill every day, learn every day about fun facts from science. Saw your Christmas special many years ago. Was thrilled when you plated a glass beaker and turned it into a Christmas tree decoration.
Maybe we should do that again.
That's been a while since you've done that one.
I still know how to do it.
Well, this has been wonderful. But Sam, thank you so much for coming by. I know you got a busy schedule. Again, it's middle of June to middle of July, roughly.
Yeah.
Is the
4 weeks?
4 weeks,
twice a week, 6 to 8 p.m. We chose the time specifically for that purpose. And you know, the Division of Continuing Education at UW-Madison is organizing this, and I'm very happy to be part of it.
Yeah, well, it's going to be wonderful, I'm sure of that. And we have it up on our Facebook page. And your site again?
SciFun.org.
SCIFUN.org, right?
You got it, right. Say it again, man. Say it again.
SCIFUN. .org, SciFun.
SciFun.org, SciFun.org. So that's one good thing to remember, but it's more important to use it. So let's have some visitors.
Yeah, and I just got to go back to, now here we got summer coming. I've got to go back because I've got my 11-year-old. We're going to be taking some of the experiments that you have up on your website and putting those into practice this summer. When she's not in school, that's a good way to keep learning.
I'm delighted to hear that. In the upper right, upper left corner.
Upper left.
Upper left, you can download these experiments, do them safely at home. You can also, in the summertime, come and watch us at the Wisconsin Union Theater when we do the Science of Fireworks.
Yes.
So Mike LaCrone and the UW Band will be there again. And we're making the plans for that. So the next time I come on your show, Larry, we can talk about that.
Thanks, Bassam. Great to talk with Bassam Shakashiri. We always cover so many topics. Coming up next, we're going to go to another important topic, and that's how and why to make end-of-life decisions now and to make sure that your loved ones and healthcare providers know about them. Sometimes hard to talk about, but we need to do that. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.